The Bonnie's Online Network presents From the AD's Desk with St. Bonaventure Vice President and Director of Athletics, Bob Beretta.
Hello and welcome to From the AD's Desk podcast. I'm your host, Seth Johnson, and of course I'm here with our Vice President and Director of Athletics, Bob Beretta. Bob, how are we doing this afternoon?
Doing excellent, Seth. How are you doing today?
Very good. It's obviously a very busy time around the athletic department, lots of developments. So I guess we've got a lot of topics to cover so we can get right into it today. We're coming off of our winter sports championships. Our swimming and diving championships were last weekend. We currently, this weekend, have our indoor track and field teams that are competing. And we're in crossover season as we have our spring sports that have already begun. And then also, of course, our basketball tournaments that are coming up here next week for the women and the following week for the men. So obviously a lot going on. And then there's this little thing called the house settlement that is taking up a little bit of news. And that's also going to be going on, or is going on right now, and we'll be covering that as well. So, but I guess first and foremost, let's start with our winter championships. And great finish for our swimming and diving teams down in Hampton, Virginia last week.
Yeah, you know, Seth, everyone's favorite time in athletics is crossover. This you have the two crossover seasons. You have the fall, winter, and the winter, spring. And the winter, spring is a beast for us with so many of our team brewing. So shout out to our staff that's able to deliver so much content, in whether it's web streams or written work or you know, whatever other media we provide, because those folks are working. They're burning the midnight oil right now, and we really appreciate that. In terms of our winter sports season ending, we're coming to a close there, and the swim teams down at the championships, we're really pleased with the runner-up finish on the men's swimming team. You know, that team, along with the women's swimming team, just ravaged by illness, as you know, throughout the course of the season. They've had some tragedy. They have had some athletes that have lost family members during the course of the season. So I'm really proud of their efforts to finish second on the men's side, runner-up. It's a tremendous accomplishment. Certainly Aiden Crawley, our lone gold medalist with a first place in the breaststroke, really happy with his performance and thrilled for him to be able to take home an A-10 championship. And our women, they just scrapped and battled all year long. And I think had they been healthy, we might have seen that number in the finish climb a little bit, but certainly pleased with how they closed out their year.
And both teams, as you mentioned, dealing with adversity. And one thing that we didn't actually mention as well was the weather down in Hampton, Virginia. Usually when we head down south, the championships had moved from Ohio at the Spire Institute a number of years ago, just a couple of years ago, moved down to Hampton, Virginia. Usually when you go down to Virginia, you don't have to deal with weather as much as you do in Ohio, but that was not the case this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, a little snow, a little ice. Good thing they were swimming indoors, but certainly made it more challenging for our spectators to get down there and support them. So we've had a little snow and ice in Olean, but I don't think they were expecting it in Virginia.
Yeah, I think we're a little bit more veterans in the removal of it. And also for our men, it was great to see. We have a great history in both swimming, men's and women's swimming and diving at St. Bonaventure. But the second place finish, as you mentioned, from our men, the highest since 2016. So yeah, it was really incredible. Great to see them get back, you know, into the top two in the conference. And right now we've got our indoor track and field championships that are going on currently. So just talk a little bit about Coach McFarland's team and, you know, what they're obviously having their indoor championships now and then as they will transition into outdoor.
Yeah, and folks that might not be familiar with our program, you know, we're a distance-heavy track program right now. So we don't expect that we'll be near the top of those standings. And it's based on the fact that we just don't have athletes entered in many of those events. But Coach Mack does a great job. He's been expanding that roster, and we're trying to transition our cross-country programs from really super cross-country programs to now cross-country indoor track and outdoor track. So he does a great job there, and I'm excited about the individual performances that we will see ahead of us this weekend. We continue to set personal bests. They've had a really strong indoor season, and we hope that it translates into a solid showing at the championships.
And now, as we talked about earlier, entering into the crossover season from winter to spring. And, you know, we have our baseball, softball, women's and men's lacrosse teams, as well as our men's and women's tennis teams that are all in action, and golf also getting kicked off here. So let's talk a little bit about baseball. Baseball off to a 4-3 start this season. Won the series down at Gardner-Webb. They also had some weather issues down at Morehead State, and that series had to move to South Carolina, and took one out of three down there. So 4-3 to start the season. Talk a little bit about kind of their kind of exciting upcoming schedule that they have here over spring break.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the direction of that program and the trajectory that they're on. And Coach Raz is doing a fantastic job with bringing in talent into that program. And a challenging schedule, as you mentioned, Seth, opened up that first series of the year down at Gardner-Webb, won 3 of 4. The one loss was up 13-1, and sometimes you get in those long series and it's a battle of attrition when it comes down to the arms. But happy to come away with that series victory. And then I know a little disappointed. Coach was really disappointed at Morehead State, but could have won all three of those games as well. Won the first one, then dropped the next two. This week, really tough competition. ODU, Middle Tennessee State, and UT Martin to start. But then on the back end, not that those teams aren't quality, because they are, but then on the back end, you got Vanderbilt and Tennessee. So I know that it's exciting as a former baseball player. And Seth, you know, I know as a former athlete on your side, you get excited to challenge the best. And this is an opportunity for us to go up and match up against the best. And that's all of our dreams as we're growing up, and we just want to have that opportunity. So I'm looking forward to seeing how we stand and how we match up against some of the best in the country.
Yeah, and we mentioned Morehead State. They won 37 games last year. You know, so not only, you know, maybe some teams that fans aren't used to hearing, maybe in the top 25, you know, if they do watch college baseball, you know, they hear about Vanderbilt and Tennessee, but, you know, the teams such as Morehead State are a really, really solid program. So Coach Raz has put together a challenging schedule, and we're excited to see what they can do this year. And then obviously next week, they head down to Nashville to take on Vanderbilt in a midweek matchup. And then they head up to Knoxville for a three-game series against, we don't say this very often, the defending national champions in the Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah, again, it's what you dream of as a young kid. You know, you want to put yourself in a position to have the opportunity to challenge, match up your talents against some of the best in the country. And in that setting, I think it'll only pay dividends when we get into the Atlantic 10 play. I think we'll compete well against Vandy and against UT, but then again, you're looking big picture, and how will that prepare us for the A-10 battles that we're going to face and hopefully qualify for an A-10 tournament championship here later this spring. So it'll be a great experience, but B, very practical experience, and I think it'll help us down the road.
Yeah, and we just want to also mention that Coach Raz will do a better job of kind of previewing the upcoming series, as he has his own podcast. So we encourage people to check out Coach Raz's podcast on the Bonnies Online Network, and he'll do a much better job of breaking down the upcoming series and, you know, the trips to Vanderbilt and Tennessee and, you know, and everything that's going on with his program. But let's also switch over to our other bat and ball sports, softball, off to a 3-1 start. They started a weekend after baseball, so they had their first Southern swing last week, and now they're headed down to Rock Hill, South Carolina this weekend over spring break to get in some more games.
Yeah, really good start for softball, going on the road, winning 3 out of 4, and now they will face some stiff competition here during spring break week. Some of the teams on that list, people may not be familiar with the names, but we're familiar with the competition, and it's really tough talent when they play upstate and Southern Indiana, Winthrop, Marist, really good softball programs. And again, you look big picture, you want to come away with the results, but early in the year, we know our teams here in the Northeast are at a disadvantage. They haven't been outside, and now this is a chance to go up and match up against some really good teams, and you want to come away with as many wins as possible, but you really want to be focused on the big picture and how will this prepare us for A-10 competition.
Mm-hmm. And then women's lacrosse started out 3-2 so far this season, played in some tough temperatures and some tough weather, with the most home games that we've ever had in the month of February, starting out really early in the month of February, playing a lot of local regional teams, little three rivals, solid start to the season. Now they finally get to enjoy some warm weather down south as they take on Stetson and South Florida this weekend.
Yeah, I'd say they deserve to get in some sunshine down at Sunshine State. It's been a little frosty for their games. 3-2, a solid start, could very easily be 4-1. Had some opportunities in that Niagara loss up here, but I think Leanne does a tremendous job with that program, and they're going to go down there and play some stiff competition in some warmer weather, and again, their eyes are set on the A-10 competition, which is right around the corner. And it'll be interesting to see how we match up against these teams, Stetson and South Florida, and a great experience for our student athletes to go down there and play in some warm weather. But they can't get too used to that warm weather, because I don't know that it'll be that warm when they return here. It'll be warmer, and they bring some of that sunshine back with them. But it's still they'll come back to some chilly temperatures here later in March.
Yep, and Coach Mearns and the men's lacrosse team off to a 2-3 start. Also have played some regional teams, some regional rivals, and now they're going to be playing this Sunday at a school that you're very familiar with, and you could probably give us an in-depth scouting report in the Lemoyne Dolphins.
Yeah, it'll be a good competition. You know, we defeated Mercyhurst out here, and they're in their first year reclassifying to Division I. And now taking on Lemoyne in its second year at Division I on Saturday in Syracuse. It'll be a good matchup. You know, Lemoyne won 6 national championships at the Division II level. And they went through Mercyhurst to get many of those. So I think you're probably going to see a very similar competition that we saw out here. I'd say with Lemoyne being 1 year farther down the path of Division I, I expect the Lemoyne team to be a little bit stronger than the Mercyhurst team. And certainly going on the road will make that more difficult. Dan Sheehan, for my money, one of the best lacrosse coaches in the country at any level. When you win 6 national championships, I don't care what level you're at, you're a hell of a coach. And he runs an incredible program, very disciplined. They generally don't beat themselves. So we'll have to be at our best. This is going to be a stern challenge for our men's lacrosse team on Saturday in Syracuse.
And like I said, men's lacrosse starting out 2-3 could very easily be 3-2. You know, went to Robert Morris, you know, came down to, you know, last seconds of that game. And so, you know, Coach Mearns' team, you know, off to a solid start. And, you know, we're excited to see where they go as well.
Yeah, you know, we sound like broken records when we talk about the stiff competition that they will find in the Atlantic 10. But the Atlantic 10 is one heck of a conference. You know, the entire portfolio of sport sponsorship, we don't find ourselves in too many sports where we don't look at it in the A-10 and say, oh, this it's a weak lineup this year. Mm-hmm. It is a solid mid-major conference in all of these sports. So we have to be at our best to compete for championships there. And we hope that the non-conference allows us to sharpen our tacks as we head into conference play.
And it should be mentioned that many of our listeners may not be as familiar with men's lacrosse because it is still a new sport here at St. Bonaventure on the men's side. But now that we are a part of the Atlantic 10 Conference, we started out in the MAC, now transitioned to the Atlantic 10, there are multiple top 25 teams on the men's side. So it is an extremely, I would say it could be the most difficult of any of the A-10 you know, considering an A-10 schedule of any of our sports face.
You know, it got good fast, if you will. You know, the A-10, as you mentioned, Seth, is new to the sport, but the schools that are playing the sport, it's not new to them. They've been, for the most part, they have long, rich traditions and histories, and those that are newer to the sport have invested heavily in the sport. So it is, I think, as you stated, of all of our spring sports, it could be the most stern competition that one of our teams will face is in that men's lacrosse gauntlet. It requires highly competitiveness, and if you make mistakes, generally you pay for them in the A-10 when it comes to men's lacrosse.
And now kind of transition over our men's and women's tennis teams. They've played a pretty heavy schedule when it comes to large schools up to this point, and now they also get to head down south. And so the men are going to be North Carolina A&T and Stetson. They're in Orlando this week. And then the women are on the flip side are going to be playing Georgetown and Seton Hall.
Yeah, some really good brand names that these teams have played already this year. And we were able to get out and watch the men and women notch victories earlier this week against Ashland. And now they started out against some top competition. And now they're going to face some really top elite type tennis here as they go down south and take on A&T and Stetson, and then on the women's side, Georgetown and Seton Hall. They're going to get into the deep end. And, you know, both of those programs are battling the numbers side of things. They've been dealing with injuries. They had some kids that transferred out after the first semester. So we're dealing with a shortage of numbers from a roster standpoint. Coach Bates doing his best here to try to keep us competitive with a smaller roster. And hopefully we'll be able to do just that as we head down south.
And Coach Swanson, the golf team, they're also getting started here. And you could argue that there are our baseball and softball teams before they went down south. I don't believe that they had That was the first time that they played on an actual field, was when they got down for pregame warmups at those games. They were stuck inside. But I would argue probably the most difficult sport to get ready for inside and then transition to outside is our golf program. And we have a fantastic indoor facility. You know, the new indoor putting facility, our simulators, and now even a turf field that we can, an indoor turf that they can pitch and chip on. But nothing is like actually getting outside and playing. And, you know, Coach Swanson's, you know, about to get started with those guys.
I know it's surprising to those listening, but our golf team has not been able to get on Bartlett yet. So hopefully they'll be able to get down there and get acclimated very well to being back outdoors in some warm weather. But we did make some enhancements to the indoor facility. You know, we did add turf to one side of it here during the winter. And, mm-hmm. And then the golf side, we were able to add a second simulator, and there's the new putting green room in there. So I think we've done as good a job as we can to try to simulate what it'll be. But certainly, as you mentioned, Seth, no substitute for getting out on that green grass and playing it in the outdoors. But we're doing our best to try to provide our student athletes opportunities and prepare them to be the best that they can. And we felt like we made some significant improvements on the golf side this winter.
Yeah, I would say just overall in terms of our indoor facility, since last time there's been in from the AD's podcast, we have finished our 120-foot by 120-foot area over at the University Fitness Center that is now turfed and, you know, primarily used by baseball and softball and as well as golf, like we mentioned, but also with the frigid temperatures that we've had, we've been able to get some of our other teams over there and to be able to utilize it. And probably one of the coldest stretches that we've had here in the winter for quite a while. And without that facility, many of our sports wouldn't have been allowed to practice at all because of how cold the temperatures were. So maybe just talk a little bit about how beneficial that space has been.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that. And hey, I don't know that there's a direct correlation, but I know it's helped. Our spring teams have gotten off to a good start. There's a lot of factors for that. But the fact that they've been able to get in and practice indoors and actually have training sessions where, as you mentioned, it's been a rough winter here. And there's been stretches where multiple day stretches, multiple times where our teams would not have been able to train because the weather would have been below our cold. The temperatures would have been below our cold weather policy. We've had lacrosse, men's lacrosse, women's lacrosse training in there. We've actually had our track and field athletes in there working and sprinting and training in there as well. So I think in one stretch last week, we had over 200 student athletes that had worked out in that building to include our tennis team. So again, I think it's high ROI. It wasn't a huge investment. It was close to six figures, but we felt like we would benefit a huge portion of our student athletes by turfing that space. We were able to do that. More to come over there. We're going to continue to make improvements and try to use that as a differentiator for us. But I think we are seeing some results, right? And it, you know, again, you can't say this is the reason, but it certainly helped get our teams off to a good start because they've been able to train in the bad weather.
Yeah, and I think that can't be understated, that just having the opportunity, you know, like I said, it's not the totality of the reason is why we've gotten off to good starts, but it's definitely beneficial, and it's definitely put our spring sports in a better position to be successful early on in the season. And now transitioning talk, we talked about, you know, spring sports a little bit, but now let's switch course a little bit and go back into the winter season a little bit and the upcoming men's and women's basketball tournaments. We have our women that are finishing up their regular season on March 1st, this Saturday, against Dayton. It's going to be senior day. We have one lone senior on our team, which is our local product, Danny Haskell. And then obviously talking about Coach Crowley in his second season and, you know, the young team that he has.
Yeah, young team, you know, talk to him almost every day, trying to keep him positive, but he's positive. He's also been battling a family issue that I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying. His mother passed away here last night, as a matter of fact, and he's been dealing with that all season long. And she's been her health has been headed downhill, and she did pass last night. So he's been dealing with that as well. We have senior day, as you mentioned, Danny, the lone senior on the team. And she's been with us for 2 years, but she's been a great leader for us. This has been a young team. Many occasions you look out on the court, we have four freshmen out there. And our job now is hopefully we can retain those freshmen, right? That's how, when you rebuild a program, you want to introduce new talent every year. And you hope in this day and age that we're able to retain those pieces that we feel like will be really valuable moving forward. But I think we've seen that team play in stretches that have been really impressive. And we've seen those flashes where, hey, we can, if we add some more pieces, this is the foundation of a really successful team. And now we just have to continue to add talent and stack recruiting classes. And I have zero concern that Coach Crowley will have that program back up amongst the elite teams in the Atlantic 10, but it's going to take a couple of years for that to happen.
Yeah, it can't be understated. You know, having a young team and the transition it takes from high school to Division I basketball, in Division I sports in general, that the jump is large, and the learning curve is large. The balance, you know, from studying to training at a different level, to the individual workouts, to the practices, to the tape, some of the stuff that you just didn't have to deal with in high school, it's a lot. And if you're at sometimes starting four freshmen plus Danny as a grad student, there's definitely a learning curve. And in, as you mentioned, senior day, it is a little bit special because Danny's only been with us for 2 years, but she did play locally at, you know, at Canisius, and also is from Franklinville, New York. So you kind of feel like there's been Haskells. Her sister played on her, was a pitcher on her softball team. You know, so there's been Haskells around it. It feels like Danny's been here a lot longer than 2 years. So it'll be a special senior day tomorrow with her.
Yeah, come out and support. She's just a great young lady, and she's done a tremendous job leading, and it's been tough, you know, and, she's not the most imposing physically, but she's got a heart of a champion, and that's been exposed all year long. And this team, in addition to being young, they just don't have a lot of numbers. You know, they got hit hard with some injuries, and we've had some players out for the year. We've had players out for long periods of time. So on top of being young, we've been really thin in terms of numbers. We're 7-8. So credit to that team. They keep grinding. And talking to Coach even this morning, he felt like, hey, 3 of the last 4 games, we've been really competitive in certain stretches we felt really good about. So he feels like we're making progress there. And I think sometimes you have to look at the big picture. And I always tell our coaches, it's the process. It's not always the results right now. And as long as the process is right, the results will follow. And I do believe the process is right. And the results, they'll follow. If they don't follow right now, heading into the stretch of the season in the tournament, they'll follow here in the near future for Coach Crowley.
And like we said, the women's finale, it's not just senior day, but it is the regular season finale tomorrow for the women. And then they head down to Henrico, Virginia, for the Atlantic 10 tournament that begins on Wednesday, March 5th. And we're going to be playing on Wednesday. We don't know who our opponent's going to be, but the bracket officially will be released following the conclusion of all the A-10 games tomorrow. And that can be found on GoBonnies.com as well as the Atlantic10.com. So we encourage fans to check that out. So, also, the men finishing up their regular season. They are a week behind the women in finishing up. So we actually have a bye. We had 2 very late byes in the season that we played a long stretch of Atlantic 10 games. And the Atlantic 10 is it's really an interesting dynamic this year when you look at the standings with the number of teams and how close they are. Only a couple that are separating themselves right now, but there is still a lot to be played for in terms of seeding going into the tournament that's going to be down in Washington, D.C. this year. So a bye this Saturday, but then home for the regular season finale against UMass this Wednesday, March 5th.
You know, I think people are really excited about the tournament, Seth, and obviously my first year here at St. Bonaventure in this role, but the Atlantic 10 has tremendous history of being so competitive, and the parity this year in this league is incredible. I think it there are probably any number of teams that will head down to D.C. and feel like they're going to have a chance to win that tournament, and their fan bases will feel that way, and we're amongst them. Mm-hmm. I think that our team on any given night can beat anyone in the Atlantic 10. We displayed that. Heck, we beat VCU here on New Year's Eve, one of the elite teams in the conference, and could very well earn an at-large bid to the NCAA if they don't win the A-10 tournament. So, you know, we've dealt with some injuries, and certainly losing DeSante Bone, our point guard, early in the year, has hurt us. Huge kudos to Melvin for sliding over and handling all that we asked him to handle, despite being really a number two, a slashing wing, and we've asked him to handle the ball. And he's handled it incredibly well, and he's been our floor general on top of one of our leading scorers. So, this team, I think, is dangerous. It's not one that I would want to face if I was an opponent in the A-10, because we have the pieces to make a run. It's a matter of whether we can string 40 minutes of consistent basketball together on any given night. We've shown during halves where we can be the top team in the conference. And then sometimes we haven't been as consistent as we'd like to be in the second half. So if we can put 40 together, we'll be a hard out for the A-10 tournament. I know we're really excited about headed down to D.C. and seeing where we land. And these next couple games will be very important for seeding. We feel pretty confident that we'll be able to avoid that first round and play on the second day, whether that's the 8-9 game or a different matchup. But we're excited about the potential, and we'll have our home finale on Wednesday. We had our senior day for the men last week, so that won't be Wednesday night, but it's certainly the final home game for several of our players, and well, hopefully we can send them out with a victory.
Yeah, a lot of people always attribute our last home game being our senior day, but next week, as we mentioned with our spring sports headed down south, is our spring break, and so we won't have our students on campus. Also being a midweek finale, we always try to have senior days on a weekend when it's easier for parents to be able to come up and take part in that ceremony. So it won't be our senior day. We did already do that, but it will be our home finale against UMass this Wednesday, March 5th, and then the men are going to head down to Davidson on March 8th, the following next Saturday, and that will be their regular season matchup. Just to let people know, the bracket will come out that night, very late. I believe the last game in the Atlantic 10 is an 8 Central start at St. Louis, and the bracket will be coming out late that night. And then we will have tickets on sale on Sunday, March 9th through GoBonnies.com/tickets. And then also, if people are more comfortable purchasing tickets over the phone, our ticket office will be open starting at 9 a.m. On Monday, March 10th. And people can call that office at 716-375-2500. So this year's tournament in D.C., March 12th through the 16th at Capital One Arena. And as you mentioned, it should be a very, very exciting tournament this year, and a lot of interest.
Yeah, I think that, again, any number of teams, there's so much parity. It's going to be an exciting tournament, and you're going to go into every game. And I think even those lower-seeded games are going to be dogfights. So folks can head down, purchase tickets through our ticket office, and spend a week watching some quality basketball. And I think there'll be some buzzer beaters down there, and hopefully Bonnie's going to be on the right side of all those results that we play in down in those games down in D.C.
Yeah, if we know one thing with Mark Schmidt, all-time program winningest coach, he always has our teams ready to play when it comes to tournament time. And his teams are always a tough out. No one wants to see, us on their side of the bracket. So, should be an exciting time for our fans. And so we're looking forward to wrapping up basketball season, heading into tournament time. But also there's a kind of an overshadowing, discussion when it comes to the NCAA and what's kind of going on in the news right now. It is March Madness time, but also house settlement time right now. And so tell us a little bit about the house settlement, what it is, and just kind of the decisions that our department faces here, you know, as we head into this kind of transitional time for the NCAA.
Yeah, it's such a transformational period in this industry, Seth, as you know, in this enterprise. I don't think we've seen anything quite as that has caused quite the a change in athletics since Title IX was introduced. It has impact here, many tentacles, but the House case is really, it's the House Hubbard and Carter case versus the NCAA. It's an antitrust case really against the Power Four conferences, and there's a settlement. It centers around NIL rights, both back pay towards former athletes that were denied the ability to earn NIL rights monies, and future student athletes. And now you have the ability for those that are going to opt into the decision, or the Power Four schools that are already part of the settlement will be able to provide additional benefits directly from the school to student athletes. And as a non-Power Four conference institution, we've had to make a decision whether we want to opt into those settlement terms or remain status quo. And pros and cons, and we've had this past week, we went on a communications plan, strategy, I should say, with the president. And we had, I think, four different town halls, both virtual and on campus, tried to communicate the message, listen to as many of our constituencies as possible, our stakeholders, talk to them a little bit about the decision that we were facing. And we announced our intent to opt into the settlement terms. And the NCAA had established March 1st as a deadline to announce your intent. So we wanted to make sure we adhered to that, put a release out. And that states that our intention is to opt into the settlement terms that will allow us to provide additional benefits to our student athletes directly. Currently, we've been working through Team Unfurl, and Team Unfurl has done just a magnificent job for us. And they're still going to remain critically important to our future. And those board members that have been so instrumental in our success, with Brian Atiyah, Brian Connigan, John Mickey, Denise Dee, Chris LaPlaca, Woj before he came on board to stand this up. And they're going to be very important. They're going to hold a very important role moving forward. But now we're going to be able to take a lot of the mechanics. It's kind of procedural more than anything else, but we'll be able to take a lot of the effort in towards the transactional piece away from Team Unfurl. We'll be able to manage that in-house, and it gives us better control over things. I think that was really one of the biggest determining factors that the president, we talked about time and time again. This is kind of about control, and in the new world order with collectives, you will not be able to provide those same level of benefits without scrutiny. Those deals will go before a third party. They're going to dictate and assess them for fair market value to make sure they are NIL deals that have an associated figure, a range of compensation associated with those that has not existed previously. And we just felt like, hey, that injects a tremendous layer of uncertainty into this. So if we take those responsibilities in-house, they are no longer traditional NIL deals. We can directly share benefits with those student athletes without going before anyone. No one would have a reason to deny those. And that provides more control for us. And we decided that this is in the best interest of the university. We know that a successful men's basketball program is really important to the success of St. Bonaventure University on so many different angles, whether it's enrollment, engagement, the ability to increase our footprint from a visibility standpoint, all the things, the goodness that basketball brings to this institution. We feel like there was an existential threat if we can't be successful in the Atlantic 10. And we really felt like that threat existed more if we remain status quo than if we opted into these settlement terms.
Yeah, and obviously an extremely complicated case. It's one that, there hasn't been a lot of clear-cut answers. They've come in bits and pieces that everyone has tried to piece together over the last year or so. And we finally, have come to the decision, like you mentioned, to opt in. Now, we have a lot of fans, alumni, that obviously everyone's wondering about how in a decision like this in athletics could not just impact the entire department, but also how it could impact the university as a whole. So maybe talk a little bit about if there, or if any, financial impact to the university, to the department, and if so, what is it?
Yeah, one thing we talked to folks about this week, Seth, was really trying to clear up misperceptions, and this was a decision made by the president for in the best interest of the university. It wasn't made here in athletics. I certainly worked very closely with the president and with our staff, and we felt like the recommendation was to opt in, and then we got full board support for that as well over the weekend when the board was in town. But we wanted to stress to people that this is not a decision based on finances. We don't foresee the university increasing our budget because of the decision to opt in. As I joked throughout the week with the president, I'm always going to ask for the university to increase its investment in athletics, but it won't be because of the opt-in decision. The opt-in decision is really more about procedure and about how we can more easily and efficiently provide those additional benefits to our student athletes. And we just felt like in the current form with what's coming and with us not knowing, there's so much uncertainty about this fair market value and third-party assessment by Deloitte that could really hamstring us in terms of what we want to do. And we would take control, be aggressive, be proactive by opting in. We will continue to raise monies to support this initiative, but it's strictly for this initiative. And that's what's been happening with Team Unfurl. They've been an incredible partner in driving so many of the resources that we've been able to provide to our student athletes. We will just move that inside of athletics. It will provide the ability for tax deductibility if we're able to to move those in if this House settlement case gets approved, which the final hearing date's not set till April 7th. So, yes, we will require additional funds, but they won't come from the university. We are pursuing many different revenue streams to support this initiative, whether it's Woj is out there working with marketing deals that support this. We're working on passive revenue streams that Team Unfurl has been incredible in uncovering these B2B opportunities that people can support the Bonnies and not have to write a check for. And we'll certainly love to share that with folks. If you want more information, contact any of us in the department, and we can certainly discuss that with you. But we don't feel there'll be an additional investment on behalf of the university. Again, this was more about having control, a procedural about how we go about actually distributing the benefits. And it's our job to continue to try to raise more revenue to support it, but it won't come off the backs of any of our current student athletes. We're not looking at eliminating sports or cutting scholarships or anything of those. You have heard that from some other schools. Our strategy right now, and we'll look at this every year. This is not a decision that we have to make now for the next 10 years. This is something we can review every year, but our strategy right now is to just to try to raise the funds specifically for this cause and not negatively impact any of our other programs, and certainly not ask the university for any additional financial support.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, we officially declared that we have the intention to opt in, have a release out on GoBonnies.com that people can read. Also, under Inside Athletics, something that might be a little bit more helpful if people are really interested in reading more is we have an FAQs that are under the House settlement. And like I said, that's under the dropdown under Inside Athletics on GoBonnies.com. That can be very, very helpful. But I think one of the misnomers about this is that, like you just mentioned, this is not something that if you decide that you intend to opt in, that is for forever. This is something that can be adjusted based on any changing landscape. And I think that's something that people always think that if you're in, you're in. But that's not the case in this situation at all.
No, it's not. And we'll review it. As you mentioned, Seth, we're in a dynamic period and we're making decisions without full information. It's certainly not going to be perfect information. You might argue that it's imperfect information. So we're making the decision that we feel is in the best interest of the university with the information we have at this moment in time. It could change dramatically based on what Judge Wilkin, how she rules in April. There are so many different directions this could go. She could approve it with the terms as stated. She could make adjustments to the terms. She could delay and defer a ruling, or she could shoot down the settlement terms and not approve them. So we just want to put ourselves in position to be nimble here and react accordingly. And obviously, if the case is not passed, then we all kind of continue to operate in the manner in which we've been operating over the past 12 to 18 months. If she does approve the ruling, then we're in position to react accordingly. And we'll do that with additional announcements on how and the ways people can help provide support to this initiative. But it's going to require us to continue to monitor the landscape. We have to understand that we have to be nimble. You know, we heard this during COVID. You have to be, how many times did we all hear? You got to be nimble. You got to be adroit, and no different here, because more information comes out every day. And what we believe to be fact today might not be fact in March. I mean, or March or May or June or July. So we'll have the opportunity to continue to analyze the situation and adjust accordingly. And who knows, maybe next year we decide we don't want to opt in. And so we won't have to. But right now, our intent is to opt in. That doesn't even mean that we are opting in. It's that right now we had to establish intent, and our intent is to opt in. If we hear some information before we actually trigger what would result in an opt-in, then we could still change course. But as of right now, our intention is to opt in fully.
All right. So as a fan, complicated, not interested in reading the court releases. I'm not interested in reading the FAQs that is, I will warn people, is 7 to 8 pages long. As a fan, Bob, will anything change? Will I notice anything different because we have opted in as a department?
Well, you know, Seth, I think this is, and spoke with someone from the A-10 this week, and it's true, and I think you've heard other members say this. Investment doesn't always equate to success, but the prevailing thought is that if you don't opt in, it almost guarantees that you're going to fail. It just allows us to provide additional benefits. And we know that the majority of the A10 members are opting in, and they're going to opt in at levels higher than we can in terms of their investment level. We know that, but we also feel that we can position ourselves. And while we don't have the resources of all of our A10 peers, we're going to have to invest wisely. But at least this gives us a seat at the table and a chance to be competitive. So if you're asking kind of what are you going to see, I think you're going to see much more competitive basketball teams on the floor as a result of this. And if we didn't opt in, I think you'd see some teams that were going to really struggle to compete in the Atlantic 10.
And I think you answered the question of, you know, what is then the direct impact on our men's and women's basketball teams? You talked about, how we're able to distribute revenue just in a different manner. Have a little bit more control over that, bring it in-house. But also, the competitiveness and kind of what it takes that if you are going to compete in the very competitive Atlantic 10 with the teams and the schools that we have to compete against, this decision, obviously, to kind of remain on par with our peers and to remain competitive was really crucial.
It's critical. And, fans are, if they've read a little bit, they've read that number, $20.5 million. It's a ceiling that was provided. It's the ceiling that the Power Four schools will live by. The mid majors, like the schools in the Atlantic 10, they'll be significantly lower. But do we think that the Daytons and some other schools that are really aggressive in this space and have voiced publicly they're going to be aggressive in this space, they're going to probably invest at a much higher level than St. Bonaventure will based on resources. But at least this gives us a chance to be competitive. Whereas if we weren't going to opt in and that our ability to distribute those benefits would be reduced due to the fair market value component, then I don't see how we would remain competitive. And it'll be interesting. We don't know what other schools in the A10 necessarily are going to do. Several have announced, some haven't announced. We'll have a better feel for that. The best information I had was that they thought, the A10 folks thought, that pretty much all but maybe two schools would opt into this decision. And this is just announcing their intent. So if they haven't announced anything by March 1st, they can still opt into the deal. But this was really what the NCAA wanted, to kind of gain a barometer on how many teams were thinking about it. It provided St. Bonaventure with a deadline that I thought was important, because it's much easier proceeding knowing the rules of engagement than being in that netherworld of not knowing we are or not. So we just felt like, hey, let's make a strong statement. Let's make a decision. Let's go around campus. Let's listen to as many of our stakeholders as possible. Let's share with everyone that we can, all of our community, that, hey, this is our intent. These are the pros and cons. Here are some misnomers, some misperceptions. We're going to clear that up. And we have a direct and a clear path ahead. And for us, the clear path ahead, pending anything that unforeseen, and there's been a lot of unforeseen in this over the past 8 months, our plan is to opt in. And now we know we can proceed accordingly and build a path that we feel will be lead to success for St. Bonaventure.
And you mentioned Team Unfurl, obviously in the NIL era. They've been crucial in terms of keeping us competitive up until this point. But now their role will shift a little bit. We'll be able to take a little bit of the heavy lift off of them. But as you mentioned before, they still are going to have a role. So maybe you can go in a little bit more detail on how you kind of envision their role, what their role is as we kind of enter in this new era.
Absolutely, Seth. We had a great meeting with their leadership last week, and we wanted to understand what they may still want, how they would want to be involved, because we didn't want to be presumptuous. They were volunteers. They haven't taken a penny. And I mentioned several of the names. Another one I want to mention is Sam Molinaro, and Sam has been critical now to trying to get other key supporters to get behind this and help us and extend revenue and to these new funds that we'll set up. And now that they will, most likely, we expect that they will be tax deductible, that opens up another opportunity for fans that want to contribute and still gain that tax deduction. Sam has been a leader here for us in terms of getting out in front of people, some of our most ardent supporters of the university and the athletic program, and trying to help explain this and try to generate as much participation as possible. Because I view Team Unfurl as kind of like a booster club moving forward. They are going to continue to drive revenue that will be then donated right to our funds to support this initiative. And when we met with the Team Unfurl folks last week. We sat in a room and we let them kind of explain to us how they would like to be remained. And me sitting next to Brian Connigan, he checked off 7 things that they felt like they could still have impact on. And they were really the 7 things that I had hoped that they'd say that they would want to remain involved, because they're an extension of our staff. The work that they do has been incredible. Volunteers, passionate alums. We're so blessed to have so many passionate people, but here are several that have dedicated so much of their time and talent and their treasures to this endeavor. And to keep them involved is going to be critical, because again, they're an extension of our staff. They're going to be fundraising. It's not in conflict with our fundraising, because whatever monies that they raise will then be donated right back into this firm. So it's going to expand our bandwidth and hopefully expand the results for us, so that we have more benefits that we can share with our student athletes.
Yeah, it definitely is going to streamline the operation a little bit. And I don't think it can be overstated how, when you mentioned that they're volunteers, that they're doing this on the side. All of them have full-time jobs running businesses. And so this is really something they do as a passion project, and they do it because they love St. Bonaventure. They love our program. They want us to be able to continue to compete at the level that we have. And, you know, I think it's great what they've done. And now it's even better that we can now assist a little bit more. Our hands were a little bit tied before. But the other thing to also is, you know, talk about the house settlement and the impact is on football and basketball, where obviously at St. Bonaventure, the focus is just on men's and women's basketball. But talk about any impact that our other sports might see and if it'll impact them at all.
Yeah, you know, the one piece we didn't talk about is the back pay portion. And we are responsible for a share of $2.8 billion over the next 10 years that's going to pay NIL rights for student athletes that are part of this case over the past 10 years from 2016 to 2024. The majority of those monies are going to go to Power Four football players. But because St. Bonaventure was a Division I member during that period, we have to pay a share into that. And it's decided by the conference what that number is. There's a formula based on the amount of sports that you sponsor and the amount of athletic scholarships that you hand out, because the NCAA provides scalable numbers and resources, revenue back to the schools on those numbers. So our number is we promoted this. It publicized it. It's about $263,000 every year for the next 10 years that will go back to support this house settlement. And it's not a check that we have to write every year. It's a reduction of distribution monies that would have been assigned to St. Bonaventure. So it's real money for us. We have to plan for that hole in our budget. The Atlantic 10 has been very generous, and they're helping its members defray, at least in the first couple of years, try to help pay for some of that cost, because it's a real number. It's real money. That's a big portion. But we talk about the impact of the other 17 sports that we have in our student athletes. We are going to focus on men's and women's basketball to some degree in this new benefit sharing program, if you will. But we hope to expand that to other sports in the future. And this opting in will allow us to do that. All student athletes are still eligible for traditional NIL deals. And I use that word traditional very loosely, because NIL deals have only been in place for like 3 years now. That's another area that Team Unfurl will help us in facilitating those deals. So if we have a soccer player or a tennis player that has an endorsement deal or appearance, they can have that NIL deal and still gain some additional money. So all of our student athletes will still have that at their disposal. Our resources will be with Team Unfurl, help facilitate those deals, help arrange those deals. But the direct benefit sharing will go to men's and basketball with a portion to the women. And I will say this as a former Olympic sports student athlete, and you as well, Seth, you know, all 17 sports benefit when men's basketball is successful. We know that. In fact, men's basketball is the engine that drives our entire athletic department. It's the one sport that drives positive revenue, and it funds the rest of our athletic budget, or a good portion of the rest of our athletic budget. So I would say that what's the impact for our 17 other sports? If our men's basketball program remains healthy and competitive, then that will allow our other 17 sports to remain healthy and competitive as well.
And as you mentioned, we do have, you know, the back pay that is, you know, that we have to be a part of and have to kind of assist with. But everything else, we aren't sacrificing anything. Everything else, the other aspects of this settlement and opting in will help streamline, will help really give some more options, but we'll still not take away from any of our other student athletes and to operate with name, image, and likeness like they have over, like you mentioned, just the past 3 years.
And we're going to continue to try to find ways to improve their experience as well. You know, I've said this from day one, you know, to me, it's about trying to provide a championship experience for all 400 of our student athletes, not just our 30 men's and women's basketball players. And some of those measures are smaller than others. I will use the turf as a great example of that over at the UFC, and we'll continue to invest there. And then, you know, just walking around our buildings. And this week we added a new nutrition element for all of our sport athletes, not just our basketball players, a nutrition supplement that will help. So there won't be a negative direct impact financially. We're going to be myself, our staff, we're going to work hard, Team Unfurl, to generate new revenue to support this additional benefit sharing program. It's not going to come off the backs of any of our student athletes. You know, we need to continue to build and grow those areas rather than reduce.
You know, really, and like I said, I think like we mentioned before, if, you know, people have more an interest in more information when it comes to the house settlement, we encourage you to go to visit GoBonnies.com, encourage you to look at those FAQs. Those are usually, you know, really provide some context in kind of layman's terms that's a little bit easier to understand than sometimes trying to read some of the articles that are out there and also some of the misnomers that are out there. But so we do encourage people to go on there and to learn a little bit more about that. And, you know, we're excited for the future. And speaking of future, we talked about winter sports championships. We talked about basketball tournaments. We talked about the transition to spring sports. But one thing that we have not discussed that has transpired since the last from the 80s Desk podcast is the transitions in our men's and women's soccer programs. We recently, well, not recently now, but in the past couple months, we released, the information that Melissa Sherwood will be taking over our women's soccer program. And also just the recent, very recent news that Kwame Oduro will be departing St. Bonaventure for a really good opportunity out at Oregon State. So we're going to be searching for a new men's soccer coach as well.
Yeah, you know, we hate to lose Kwame, and he's been fantastic. And the news on the women's side, we know that Donnie George left to take another head coaching position, and we were able to fill that opening, I think, with a tremendous asset to us. Melissa Sherwood is a veteran Division I coach. She's reached a great deal of success, experienced a great deal of success at schools like St. Bonaventure, where she's gone. And I think what really impressed me about Melissa, about Coach Sherwood, Seth, throughout the process, when you do your research on where she's been, every program where she's coached, she's left it better than she found it. And that's what we ask. That's what we want of our coaches, right? We want them to come in here and elevate every single day and enhance the experience. And Melissa's done that. She's done that throughout her career. And we feel that she'll be a tremendous asset to our ladies. I've already watched her in practices in late evenings out there on the turf. And she's bringing a whole different level of, standards and accountability that I think is needed in the program, and it'll be really interested to see her results as time goes by here. And on the men's side, losing Kwame was a surprise, you know, and losing him to Oregon State was maybe even a bigger surprise. And then losing him to a women's program was maybe the biggest surprise. He's really changing his career direction. He's going to be an assistant coach on the women's side out at Oregon State. A huge change for him and his family, and a great opportunity. I'm thrilled for Kwame, but we'll miss him. You know, Kwame, I think, is the epitome of what we want here at St. Bonaventure. He's a dignity and class and character, and his team and his play with that same level of spirit and represent the university very, very well over the years. So we'll miss him, but we are currently in a search, and I've been pleased with the response and the interest in the position. We have over 70 applicants for that position right now, and some really quality candidates. So Steve Mest is running that search for our athletic department. And, you know, Alexis Watson ran the search on the women's side. And I feel like we're going to have a dynamic leader in that program. We hate to see Kwame go, but, you know, our job is to find the next person to lead that program to greater heights. And I'm really confident that we'll be able to deliver on that front based on the initial view of the candidate pool. It's been impressive, and we're excited about what the future holds.
But we don't want to dissuade anybody, any soccer coaches out there that might be interested in the position. We do have a talented pool, but we are still open for applications. So feel free to send
those in.
That's right. And it's exciting with Melissa as she kind of gets her feet wet, begins some off-season training, really hits a recruiting trail hard here to see where the direction of that program goes. And like you mentioned, Kwame was here 10 years, was a great coach, an even better person, a great member of our department, a mentor to some of our other younger coaches. And also kind of really unique that, went to Niagara, was assistant coach at Canisius and then was at St. Bonaventure. So mm-hmm. he, in terms of the little three
little
history, he was the only person that I know of that really has spent time at all three. So we're sorry to see him leave, but I think we would be remiss if we didn't wish him the best of luck for what he's done here and the opportunity he has. And we're excited for him and his family as well. But we've covered a lot of different topics. Is there anything that you'd like to, cover or wrap up with here before we end this podcast?
Yeah, Seth, I just want to thank our fans. We being so instrumental in our decision, this opt-in is a big deal. It's a big deal for the future of college athletics. So we appreciate your support. Try to get as educated as you can, read as much as you can. But I also understand that it's not like it can be a little dry at times. But we do appreciate your support. If you haven't subscribed to the AD letter that I send out once a month, I'll be sending one out Tuesday that'll be 100% dedicated to the House settlement and how it impacts our program. So you can go on our website and sign up for that. Then I'll have another update going out the next day, kind of the general one that we do every month. But I do really want to express our thanks, our staff's thanks for your understanding and your support and patience. And it's a dynamic time, and I think we all have to be open for change. This industry has changed dramatically over the past 18 months. It's different, but we have to embrace change, because if we don't embrace change, when we think about the past, it's great, but it won't help us excel in the future. And we need to adapt as the times call for that. And we're going to do our best here at St. Bonaventure to chase excellence every day.
Yeah, and I think it's very important, as you mentioned, there's a lot of information, and we're trying to be as transparent as possible. You, in particular, with the communications through your Bonna Bulletin and some of the other communications that you send out. So we do encourage fans to go and sign up for that, because there is some great information, not just updates on where our teams are at, but also just as things change in terms of the NCAA or anything else that's going on. That's kind of it's a really great place to get some good information, because there's so many opinions out there. There's so many slanted, articles and releases that are done, to really hear it from you, from our department, and really from the perspective of how any of these changes, directly impact us as an institution, and not just the whole, because there are so many times, as that a lot of things are slanted towards football and everything else. But sometimes it's really difficult to kind of decipher how that really impacts St. Bonaventure.
Yeah, we try to cover things holistically, and that update you can subscribe to at no cost. So you go on our website and you'll get what I try to put together, a holistic newsletter every month, and then some special newsletters and letters as different things pop up during the course of the month and around the holidays. So just an opportunity to hear directly from me, but really it's the work of our department that we try to highlight. We have an incredible staff that works really hard and cares a whole lot about our mission here, our Franciscan values, and what our mission here at the institution is. And this letter allows me to brag a lot on the work that we do. So please sign up for that, and hopefully you'll find it rewarding. We won't spam you with a bunch of mail. It's once a month, maybe twice a month. This week you'll get two because of the House settlement specialty edition, but we encourage you to do so, and it allows us to stay engaged with our fan base.
Yeah, and as we wrap up, we do encourage our fans, if you're able, come out on March 1st, this Saturday, for Women's Basketball Senior Day. We really encourage you to come out March 5th for our final men's regular season home game against UMass. And then if you are in the area and able to get down and support our men's and women's basketball teams down in Virginia and Washington, D.C. at their tournaments, that would be wonderful. We always have a great alumni base and fan base that goes on the road and travels. We always get compliments from other schools about how rabid our fan base is and how supportive they are. And then we also encourage fans to get out here and support our spring sports as we get going here, as we mentioned, and as the weather warms up and we start to host some games out here, encourage to come out and support in person. If you aren't able to support in person, our games all the spring can either be found on ESPN Plus, our home games, that is, on ESPN Plus or the Bonnies Online Network. That's through GoBonnies.com. That's new this year. But also we do encourage people to make sure you go to GoBonnies.com for any updates and also follow our social channels as well for any schedule changes that are sometimes last minute when we're dealing with some of the weather that we are up here. But I guess until next time, we thank everyone for listening. Bob, thank you very much for taking the time.
My pleasure.
And we'll look forward to doing it again soon. And thank you for listening. Until next time on From the AD's Desk podcast.
Go Bonnies.